the boasts of the house of Jacob have discouraged the spirit of Jehovah, because these same have not tried very hard to think or walk straight. Micah chapter 2, verse 7. That's the version from 2003 by yours truly, of the book of Micah, that is, chapter 2, verse 7. And our daily scripture for today, little children, there is a translation of that from the Hebrew, using the Hebrew and using Google Translate, taking the Hebrew from the Hebrew Study Bible on the website BibleHub.com and putting that into the Google Translate engine, we get Micah 2 and 7, the house of Jacob has been cut off, and the spirit of the Lord is like his works. His words will prosper with the upright who walk in them. And it's a joy to resume our study again now. We are studying the article, Joseph and On, with On being the name of the city in Egypt, which is also called by the Greeks Heliopolis. We're at paragraph 36. As we're numbering these paragraphs, while we read, because there are no actual numbers, we have the illustration of Poseidon there with his trident, a very vivid illustration. His eyes are not particularly well focused there. In the image, he doesn't seem to have any irises in his eyes. He's got long hair, a long beard. It's gray hair or silver hair, and he's got a fin on his back, or two fins, which are, he's standing with his arms partially outstretched and the trident in his right hand facing us, so the fins are not visible, but he's got, from his waist down, scales, it appears, on his body, and there's water all around him and radiance coming from him in an outward and upward direction, while there are apparently either waves or light splashes coming from him. And the brothers of Poseidon, as we begin to read, are Hades and Zeus. That's from Greek mythology. Hades is god of the underworld, while Zeus is ruler of the gods. Zeus is, in the Roman pantheon, Jupiter, and is thus associated with the planet Jupiter, the largest planet. Hades is the eldest son, in Greek mythology, of Cronus and Rhea. The name Rhea may be taken as very similar to the name of Reuben's mother, Leah, a letter R having been substituted for an L, or the R and the H, of course, being moved to the end of the name Leah, L-E-A-H compared to R-H-E-A, but the sound being very similar. In the Greek mythology, Rhea appears as a combination of names of the wives of Jacob, the wives of Jacob being, or having been, Rachel and Leah. So Rhea is a combination of Rachel and Leah, as it very well appears. The letters of Rachel, the H, the E, the A, the R, contain the letters of the name Rhea, and Leah is, of course, also the same letters as Rhea, except the R has been changed to an L in Leah. Now, so they're very similar, and both names, Rachel and Leah, are contained virtually within the name Rhea. Zeus is said to be the youngest of his siblings, a fact that correlates to the birth of Judah as the fourth son of Leah's after Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, after which she gave Zilpah, her handmaid, to Jacob for a wife. Yes, so even in the Greek mythology where it says Zeus is the youngest of his siblings, Judah was the youngest of the four sons of Leah before she stopped being fertile, and for a while anyway, she gave her handmaid to Jacob for a wife. Leah did, however, later have two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun, plus Dinah. Simeon, and Dinah was one of the daughters of Leah, Simeon and Levi were cursed by Jacob. That's from Genesis 49, verses 5 to 7. And they were cursed prior to the death of Jacob because of their vengeful acts against the family of Shechem the Hivite, who had violated their sister Dinah. Zeus, known for his erotic escapades, may be correlated with Judah again, in the sense that Judah had relations with Tamar, and he had his twin sons, Perez and Zerah, out of wedlock. Zeus is father to many heroes in the Greek pantheon, as Judah is the father of the Messianic lineage, who included Boaz, David, Solomon, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Josiah, and Jesus, our Lord Jesus. We have an illustration here of the priestess of Delphi, clad in scarlet garments on her head, over top of her shoulders and head. There's a garment which appears to be perhaps a different one, or perhaps a continuation of the same garment draped over her lap, but she's wearing a garment of a different color, more of a brown or orange color, that's slung over one of her shoulders, and she's got a plant in her hand with a number of leaves we also see there in that illustration, in that painting actually. She's got a bowl in her right hand and a plant in her left hand. She's sitting on what looks like a stool, and she has bare feet, and her dress that's slung over one shoulder also goes down to her ankles, or right down to her feet. She's got nothing covering her arms. They're bare arms, and half of her chest is or shoulder is, one of her shoulders is bare. And it's a painting by John Collier from 1891, actually. Joseph's brother, Judah, now he's a half-brother by a different mother, is chosen by God, Judah is, as the father of the Messianic line from which Jesus comes. Judah has been also in the article Valder, linked with Zeus and Jupiter. Yeah, so we can refer to that maybe some other time. I wanted to mention also Rebecca. I said wrongly something about her. She's the sister of Laban, and she's the daughter of Bethuel, who was the daughter of, Bethuel was the son. Bethuel was the father of Rebecca, right, who married Isaac, and Rebecca was the sister of Laban, who is also another son of Bethuel. But Bethuel was the son of one of the brothers of Abraham, Nahor, I believe. But anyway, he was also... Bethuel was a grandson of Terah. That's the lineage of Rebekah that we mentioned yesterday. She was a descendant of Terah. It was so important to note because she had an identity in the Greek mythology as Gaia, and that was also there was also the expression let me think to get it right. We have to go back to look at it to make sure I don't get that wrong here. Mother Earth. She was called Mother Earth, Gaia. So, and the word Earth itself, of course, as also people talk about the word Earth as referring to it as Terra, right? T-E-R-R-A. But the word Earth and the name Terra actually share the same exact letters in the English language. So Mother Earth descended from her patriarch or her ancestor Terah is a perfect identification of Gaia, who's also Rebekah, with the G corresponding to the hard K sound or C sound in Rebekah or Bega. Gaia being identified thus as Rebekah and being a descendant of Terah, which we left off at which point we left off actually yesterday in our study. Now Zeus and Jupiter are Greek and Roman forms of Judah respectively, Jupiter being a Roman god who's the analogy of Zeus in the Greek pantheon. He's the most powerful god, right? And so Judah is also very important in the Bible because he's the father of the Messiah. He's the ancestor of the Messiah, Jesus. And always there were important people in that lineage, like King David, who was also an ancestor of Jesus and a son of Judah by descendancy. A brother of Joseph's named Reuben, he was... actually, Leah's firstborn, by having sexual relations, that was Reuben, was Leah's firstborn. Reuben, by having sexual relations with the wife of his father, Jacob, that is, with Leah, Reuben lost his inheritance. The inheritance intended for him as the eldest son of Jacob from Jacob's first wife, Leah, came to be Joseph's. No, I think it wasn't with Leah. Reuben had sexual relations with one of the concubines, I think it was, wasn't it? I think, but it was, yeah, it was with the wife of Jacob anyway. So let's see, Reuben, right, Reuben, Bilhah? Maybe? Yeah, he lay down with Bilhah, his father's concubine. That was what it was. That's from Genesis 35 and 22. Yeah, so you know, I have to be careful when I start talking from memory. I get things occasionally a little bit wrong in there, or sometimes very wrong, but we'll find out more as we go on here. But another thing I may have gotten wrong here, but it still is very, very yeah, I think it's right in a very interesting way, but it's not. I may have found or been quoting from a typographical error in a publication or something. I don't know what happened. We'll find out as we get there today, as we read on. The inheritance intended for him as the eldest son of Jacob from Jacob's first wife, Leah, that is Reuben's inheritance, came to be Joseph's, because Reuben was unfaithful with one of the wives of Jacob. Joseph was the eldest son of Jacob's second wife, Rachel. So because he was the eldest, you know, he was also the firstborn of one of the wives. These were the wives, Rachel and Leah, and whereas the concubines were not in the descendancy of the inheritance, or they didn't have a right as firstborn, the children of the concubines, but it was Rachel who was actually the first choice of Jacob's for a wife. But Laban insisted that he first take Laban's eldest daughter Leah instead. The eternal damnation of Reuben, Genesis 49 and 4, identifies him clearly with Hades, god of the underworld. Genesis 49 and 4. With reckless license like waters, do not you excel, because you've gone up to your father's bed. At that time, you profaned my lounge. He went up to it. Speaking about Reuben, that was the prophecy of Jacob in Genesis chapter 49, verse 4, regarding Reuben. So, in a similar way to the god of the underworld, Hades, the association of damnation is there with Reuben because of his actions. And having seen the incredible parallels between Joseph, the son of Jacob, and the god Poseidon, we may examine for the first time how Joseph lived, where he resided, and how he affected the Egyptian people, as well as the Greeks and Romans during his lifetime. Isn't this remarkably informative or exciting, how we can find parallels between the Bible and the Greek and Roman mythologies and the Egyptian mythologies? I mean, it's, to me, it still is, you know, hard to contain my excitement sometimes. We may examine now, for the first time, how Joseph lived, where he resided, and how he affected the Egyptian people, as well as the Greeks and Romans during his lifetime, as well as long afterwards. Joseph had an effect on the Egyptian people and the Greeks and Roman people, as shown by the mythology that we're now studying in this article. Evaluation of both his actions and his posterity needs to be done for the first time. This is neither a chore, as I read on, nor is it undertaken lightly, for the result will not only reinstate a missing family into its legacy, but it will effectively rewrite history, and for the better, no doubt. The revelation that the Greek myth is, in the main, based on the Jewish biblical tradition is both astonishing and understandable. That the Roman myth be based on the same thread is at the same time barely less awesome, nor any more difficult to comprehend. The Roman and Greek mythology were bound together, but why they would both, the fact that they both, I mean, the evident fact that they both reflect the magnificence of this patriarch Joseph is still no less awesome, right? Just the fact that they both reflected it, it just, you know, strengthens it. But if Roger Bannister be honored because he ran a mile in under 4 minutes, and if his wife be forgiven for thinking at one time that he had run 4 miles in 1 minute, then perhaps I may be forgiven for esteeming this discovery as closer to the latter measure than the former, even though I may be honored in no greater measure than Mr. Bannister was for running the mile distance in under 4 minutes. For I do believe it a fair comparison, were this the field of track, I'm just reading this, that this discovery be thought of as constituting, as a right of my own discovery, an accomplishment comparable to what 4 miles in 1 minute would mean in track and field. This said in no little modesty, for the scriptures counsel that we not think more of ourselves only as it is necessary to think, but to think each one so as to have a sound mind. This a direct quote from the book of Romans, chapter 12. In the quote from Zechariah Sitchin above, with 1,000 days as just less than 3 years, we see that Joseph was 103 years old at the completion of the Bar Yosef, or Joseph's Sea, or Joseph's Canal also, as it was called. And this corresponds exactly to the key year of 1850 BCE as the date of the completion of Egypt's waterway, which is the year upon which the genealogy is based, triple this number being exactly 5550. Before we do anything else, let's multiply 1850 by 3, and we get 5550. So that's the same as the year of the BCE time period when Adam was created, 5550 BCE, and the year 1850 is the basis for our chronology, which we see when we read the article that preceded this one called Joseph. Maybe we'll do that one next, I don't know. But it talks about this year 1850 being important, but that's also the exact year in which Joseph was 103 years old. That's why that's significant. But we saw from the myth or the story, it's not even a myth. It's actually an historical account given by the Egyptians, right? And related by Zechariah Sitchin that we talked about. When Joseph was 100 years old, he undertook a major construction project that he completed when he was 103 years old. So this is what we're talking about. Now, this number 103 is really interesting in another way, because in the article Phoenix, if we look for that number 103, doing a text search, we get 103. You'll find the year 1850 there mentioned also, but also a sum of 309 lunar cycles of 29 and a half days, roughly, more exactly 29.530589 days. Those 309 lunar cycles, 309 is 3 times 103, and 309 lunar cycles makes almost exactly 25 Egyptian years, as we say there. So that's what's significant. Dividing 309 by 3 gives 103, the age of Joseph in 1850 BCE, according to the article Phoenix. Now, Adam was created in 5550, which is 3 times 1850, and 1850 is the year in which Joseph was 103 years old. This is a discovery which was made most definitely after the fact. In other words, the discovery about the story of Joseph being 100 years old and building a huge construction, completing a huge construction project called Joseph's Canal or Joseph's Sea in 3 years, leading to its completion when he was 103 years old. That story was discovered after we determined our chronology, most definitely afterwards. We had no knowledge of this. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this account given by Zechariah Sitchin. It came after. And so it serves to confirm in a most extraordinary way the idea that the year 1850 is a key number. So just like in the case of Chedorlaomer, too, the discovery that Gudea was Chedorlaomer and that the dating of the time of Abraham exactly coincided with the beginning of the Assyrian Empire, where Gudea was the same person as Ninus, also proven by the chronology lining up perfectly without any modification after we determined earlier the chronology of the birth of Abraham, which was accounted for in, you know, with regard to Keter Laomer in book Genesis of the Bible, chapter 14. All of that that we discovered before, that was also a thing that happened after we determined the chronology. In this case, again, this discovery of what Joseph did at the age of 100 years old, that was found after. And it relates to this year, 1850, as a key year. But we found it was a key year before this. In the article Joseph, we found it, and we talked about it in the article Phoenix, which is a later article after this one. I mean, it was the article order was Green, then Joseph and Owen, then Phoenix. That's the order of the articles, but... So, 103 is a number of considerable significance containing the digits 1 and 3, as indeed do 13 and 31 also. The latter two numbers having a bearing on the life of Joseph, as we did begin discussing in the article Joseph, Ruler of Egypt. That having been the article that preceded this one that we're reading now, in the order in which I wrote them, we hence know of no better method for cherishing history, though this appreciation, or through, I should say, and through this appreciation, listen to this, this is our final sentence, or second sentence, the penultimate, second last sentence, we hence know of no better method for cherishing history, and through this appreciation, may we gain greater inner peace. Any better way of understanding ourselves is most welcome. That's the end of that study. Oh, yes. Okay, so let's go back and talk about what the name Rachel means. Okay, or do we want to read on? I'm trying to think. Do we have time to read on? We don't. Yeah, we do have time. I mean, we're going to come down here eventually. We're going to get here, but we're not going to get there today. The meaning of the name Rachel, according to the Bible dictionary, we're going to see, I say here that Smith's Bible dictionary gives the name of Rachel as Eve, but that's not correct. At least not when I recently redid the research. I see it, he says, as all the other references give, the name of Rachel means you, E-W-E, which is, of course, V and W are the same letter if you translate it between different languages. So the idea of the sheep, the female sheep, you, E-W-E, means female sheep in English. That E-W-E could just as easily be E-V-E, because W and V, like in German, they pronounce a W as a V. It's very close, there's a close relation between V and W. So the fact that I mentioned that it was Eve there, even though it's not technically correct, when you look at Smith's Bible Dictionary, he says, you. But because of the way it was printed here, it looks like a, if you don't look closely, it looks like Eve. And of course, there is a close relation between V and W. So the fact that I made this sort of, what we call, I don't know, a kind of a slip up that works to our benefit because it's actually not wrong since V and W are closely related. But the idea here, Eve, or you, it means you. Rachel means you. E-W-E in Smith's Bible Dictionary. Right there, Rachel. You. A ewe, a sheep, a female sheep, is what Rachel means. And then we have the Egyptian goddess Nut or Night. And that's very similar to the idea of Eve, right? The Eve or the night, evening. So EWE, because W and V are equivalent letters between, you know, translating between different languages, it's very common. V and W would be interchanged. It's so common. And many people pronounce, many people can't pronounce. Let's see, what would they say? They pronounce a W as a V, and they don't, they're not able to pronounce a W. So, I mean, in German, for example, or people who speak German, they're limited by their own use of their language when they learn English. So this idea, this is amazing. Night and Eve have a correlation. Night and you. So that's the definition. The Egyptian goddess Nut, or night, relates to the Hebrew Rachel because her name means you, E-W-E. And I saw the similarity between E-W-E and Eve, the evening. It's remarkable, but there are other reasons too, of course, that night, Rachel is the mother of Joseph, who we've identified as Helios, the god of the sun, and the nighttime gives birth to the sun because the sun arises from the night each morning. And also, this goddess of Egypt called Night is called the Far Shining One in the Greek mythology, mild-eyed Eurypheia, the Far Shining One, the wife of Hyperion in Greek mythology, or called Thea of many names, is the mother of the sun, compared to Nut, where night gives birth to the daytime, right? Every night the sun comes up in the morning. And from Pindar, where what he wrote in his own Isthmian Odes, mother of Helios, Theia's awakenings, he honored in power because of thee. As gold for men beyond measure of other things, now bears a fleet merchant in ships to sea. Lo, mares for the chariot through thy worthenings, in wonder hard wheeling desire to be. That's the translation of yours truly from Isthmian Odes of Pindar, March 5th, 2010. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. The time is, well, it's February 4th, 2025 of the Common Era, and the time is 22:40 hours Canadian Eastern Time. This is Sissy, and this is Star, in my behalf, saying bye for now. And we got down to, really, this illustration of Heinrich Schliemann. That's how far we got in our reading. But we've covered, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 maybe paragraphs, 3 or 4 paragraphs. I'll document that. So that's it for today.